Please turn your Bibles to the book of Colossians in chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3, we commence our reading from verse 1. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. As we reflect on this passage of Scripture, in a sense, we are reflecting on what our minds should be engrossed on as we enter the new year, I would propose. It's a theme that has been on my mind quite a bit, and it's a theme I have reflected upon and preached upon in recent months. And I think it is important for us Christian people to just spare time to consider these wonderful, marvelous truths that we have just read. In the morning, we reminded ourselves, or we were reminded, about the importance of seeking the face of God, the importance of hearing from God, hearing the voice of God, the importance of maintaining communion with God. He is our God. He created us. He made us in his image, in his likeness. And the idea was that we might maintain our relationship with him, not for time, but for eternity. Proof of which is even when we rebelled, even when we were renegades, we were fleeing away from God after we had sinned in the Garden of Eden. We were on the run, determined to just have nothing to do with God, just disappear and find our own lives, find our own ways. He would still come down and ask, "Where are you?" He would seek after us. He was prepared to become a creature, to become a man, to become like you and I, save sin, in order to redeem you to himself, so that the process of our formation into the image of God would continue and be crowned at the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is determined to have you back to himself. God wants to have communion with you. No greater privilege, no greater honor than to hear such good news. Seek my face, he says. Please seek the face of God daily, nightly, monthly, annually, all the time. Well, so much for seeking the face of God. Now we are invited to set our minds on things of above, where God himself is. This Christian business is lofty business. It's exciting business. It's thrilling stuff. It's an encounter with God all the time. Even when there's this gulf, this gap between heaven and earth, God and man, this vast distance between us, God still says, "You can be heavenly, and heavenliness can be a part of you." In this passage of Scripture, I'd like us to notice two things. And they are the two things that the apostle is bringing to our attention. The first is our obligation. He's giving us an encouragement, an exhortation. He's encouraging us to do something, to be active on something, to take specific steps, a specific direction, to have a mental change, a transformation of mind and attitude, our wills to be summoned to do something specific. And then secondly, he gives the basis, the reason, the grand reasons why it should be that way. And when you reflect on these reasons, why he tells us to be what we must be, it's all mind-boggling what God has done. It's as if he's saying, Cinderella, you don't know what God has done for you. You don't know the treasures that you have. Hear me loud and clear. Just let your mind be lost in things of above. Then you will understand just what God has done for you. You'll be overwhelmed. The exhortation is in two forms. In verse 1, the things of above is the first exhortation. Second exhortation is set your minds on things of above. Now, to the careless reader, those two things are the same. It's just repetitiveness. It's just laying emphasis. And God just wants us to pay attention in case we missed it the first time. No, you actually did miss it the first time. The first thing he's saying is seek the things of above. In other words, desire. This is about seeking. This is about searching. This is about yearning for, preferring, pursue the things of above. And the second is set your minds on these very things. So you have begun to pursue a project. You have this ambition. And don't let go of it. Set your minds on it. Glue yourself to it. Focus on it. Meditate on it. Be so engrossed with it. Be obsessed with it. It's like nothing else matters in the universe. All things may be precious, valuable. They have their place and their importance. But this, of all things, is the most important. If you're going to set your mind on something, if you're going to be engrossed on something, if you're going to be lost in the wonders of something, this is it. Now, of course, there's so many things that we must be preoccupying ourselves with here and now. And the older you are, the wider the range of responsibilities or the things you must be worrying about. There was a time when we were young, smooth-skinned lads who just wake up and worry about food and drink. If we moved another inch, it was all about who is going to make me happy. Who's going to make me feel sweet about myself. It was the search for a sweetheart. After that, we moved on to something else. Parents know very well when the game of sweetheart was all over in terms of the two of you now came children. If you know anything about children, they are the most greedy creatures on earth. They take nearly the entirety of your budget, school, education, tuition, the whole range. Talk about health issues. There's a time my wife and I were discussing the possibility of adopting, I think it must have been our grandchild or something. And I was very zealous about the project. And I said, look, we do need this little girl to come and be with us. And she said to me, dear, do you really want to go back to those open days and shuttling between home and school to go and get a report and this business day and night? Sober my mind, I remember those ugly days of having to be humiliated before a teacher who is telling you how dull your child has been the whole term. We are worrying about so many things all the time. Things great, things small, but all important to us. In the midst of all these concerns, all these preoccupations, the apostle is encouraging us as he's inspired by God. Remember, this is a man who would have had his own encounters with God. He heard the voice of God, and God would be speaking to him, and God is speaking through him. He would have his own encounters concerning heaven, things above there where Christ is seated at the right hand of majesty, the glories that are hid there. And he's saying, if you know what is good for you, if you know what is important, if you have to set your priorities, here is what I advise you. Of all things, set your mind on those things. But it's because you are seeking them first. Like we sang, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's not because the things of this world are all useless. It's a matter of priority. Seek. Continually seek. Pursue them. Hunt them down. Like one who is seeking water on a thirsty throat. Pursue aggressively. A young man who has fallen in love. Pursue aggressively, ceaselessly, tirelessly. Pursue like a hunter that has got his game in range. Pursue relentlessly the things of above. And set your mind on those very things as a normal way of life. So in a sense, he's saying the mind is going to be engrossed. The heart is going to be filled. The will is going to be regulated by things of above. And what are these things? What are these things? When he says, set your mind on things of above, seek things that are above. What are these things? Well, obviously, he's reminding us here that it's things that have a heavenly origin. That's number one. Things that have their origin in heaven. And some things here on earth are purely earthly. They are for this part of our existence. They are for the natural realm. Once we die, we have nothing to do with them. It's all over. And he's saying, well, there are things that have a heavenly origin. And whatever it is that you can consider, establish from the word of God that has a heavenly origin, that's one of the things you want to preoccupy yourself with. That's something you want to be thinking about much of the time. Not only heavenly in origin, but also heavenly in nature. And here we could include all kinds of things. Remember the Lord's Prayer? Our Father who is in heaven, your kingdom come. Your will be done. Those are heavenly things. We want God's rule, God's management, God's governance. Just as he rules in heaven, we want to see it here. We want to see it primarily in our own lives. Let God rule in our lives as he rules in the lives of the angels, Gabriel, Michael, and whatever other names we do not know. As he rules there, as they submit to his will, as they fall down to worship and revere him, so must it be here. Not only within myself, not only within my heart, but I want to carry my sweetheart as well. Let her also experience the rulership of God. Rulership in my children. Rulership in my community. Rulership in my church, that we may not just be a religious body, but a people that are thoroughly governed by God, who enjoy submitting to the rulership of God because they know the mind of God. That very mind of God, as it has been revealed in his word, is part of what we are seeking here. When we talk about things of above, Holy Scripture, inspired by God, originating in heaven, heavenly in nature, it's for us here. For us here. That's God's guidance for us. That's God's regulation for us. We want to set our minds on things of this nature. But thirdly, he also talks about Christ above at the right side of God. that's something to pause and ponder over. Set your mind on things of above. Seek the things of above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. There's a reason why he interposes Christ there. He inserts him in. He could have very easily talked about heaven and the Father, and that we must seek things of the heavenly realm from the Father. He must bring in Christ, because Christ is the mediator between God and man. We have no access to God without Christ. We cannot talk to God without Christ. Our righteousness is stinking, filthy rags without Christ. Everything about us, even our best of deeds, done in obedience to God's law, done with a motive to honor God, driven by the desire to do what is right in the sight of God. Everything about us is absolutely useless without Christ. He is the sanctifier of our prayers, sanctifier of our deeds, all our works, all our righteousness. Everything about us is sanctified. And as we shall be saying in a moment, and appreciating in a moment, it's all bound in our union with Christ. Because we are united with Christ, we have an obligation to set our minds on things of above, where our Lord, with whom we are bound, is seated at the right side of majesty. It is through Christ that all the heavenly blessings come to us. All the good things that we will ever know and ever enjoy come to us because of him who is at the right side of majesty. Who is it that is speaking to the Father day and night, our day and night, not their day and night, because there's no night there? Who is it that is always beckoning the Father? Who is your chief advocate, your lawyer, your defender, your spokesperson in the presence of God? Remember those moments when you have fallen, when you have dishonored God. Perhaps no one even knows what you have done. And you're so afflicted with guilt and shame, and you want God to have mercy on you. And you are crying and crying, Lord, please help me. Lord, have mercy upon me. Who is it that intercedes? Who is it that speaks to your Father on your behalf? It is our Christ, the Lord of glory. It is our Christ, the Prince of glory. And we are being encouraged to set our minds on things of above, that are coming to us as blessings mediated through Christ. All goodness, all that we shall ever know. So whichever way the traffic is going to go, whatever is coming from this earth, corrupted, polluted earth, sinful earth, must go to the Father and be received by the Father and accepted by the Father, because it has gone through our Savior. And everything that is coming from heaven, and their blessings are numerous. They are beyond number. Some are visible, others are invisible. Some we know, others we do not know. At other times we are asleep when these blessings are being lavished upon us. It is all through Christ. It's all through the intercessory ministry of Christ that is currently taking place in heaven. Set your mind where your Christ is. Set your mind where your Lord is. Set your mind where your groom is. You claim you've fallen in love. You claim you're in a relationship with Christ. The married people know this story very well. We always joke using the Lamba phrase, nafungavana. And this is the story. African people speak in proverbs. Some things are a little embarrassing to admit. You don't really express yourself in the most romantic terms when you are speaking to friends and relatives. So, I'm far away from home and I want to express the depth of my emotions concerning my beloved. You don't say, I've missed my wife. You say, I've missed my children. Detour. Don't go direct. Just the children. Wise men will know it's your wife. Anyone who has fallen in love, anyone who has entered this rich relationship, anyone who has understood the essence of love, none more so than the love of God. A true experience of the love of God cannot but want to think about this God. Set your thoughts on this God. I remember when I got converted at age 17, I must have been in Form 4 or thereabout. And the morning when I woke up after my profession, I just felt this gush of the presence of God in my soul. It was like a saturation of this glorious being. And joy I could not suppress. The songs I must have sung maybe 10 years earlier, or I don't know how many years earlier, as we were growing up as children, those hymns just suddenly, all forgotten in the days of my wilderness journey, sinning away myself, now came back alive. And I was walking on Broadway Road or whatever road that was in Indola. And I'm seeing these cars coming, gushing towards me on the side of the road. And I was walking there with my tears streaming, like one who had just lost a beloved, lost a mother, lost a father, or lost a beloved child. And my tears were just falling and falling. I did not care who saw me and who wondered why I was crying. I cared little what people thought. My mind was in heaven. My soul was saturated with the presence of God, the glory of God. And at that moment, I looked at this car coming at high speed. I say to myself, come and take me in death. It is well with my soul. In the presence of God, I shall be right now. Oh, that joy that filled my heart. Oh, that peace that cleansed all the guilt away. This hope that was alive. The love of God overshadowed me. It enveloped me. I was tucked in the love of God. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Have you had that experience, my friend? I'm still like a cell phone, like a motor car. You think this is life. God is good. You ain't known nothing. Have you known God in your soul? Have you known forgiveness of sin? Have you known real hope that gives you this real assurance that heaven is there for you? I beg you, deal with the sin that hinders you from having this experience right now. It's not good enough that you keep coming to church. It's not all about impressing your parents. It's not about trying to please God with good deeds and efforts of righteousness. It's about repentance of sin. It's about knowing this Jesus, knowing Him as Savior, allowing Him, as it were, to rule within your soul. Seek the things of above and let your mind stick there. It's not just selective seeking, but whatever you're going to seek, you want to be absorbed with those realities as they pertain to your life here and now, preparing yourself for all eternity. For Christ, your Savior, your Lord, your lawyer, is at the side of majesty. And in a sense, what that means is you want to be meditating on Christ. You want to be meditating on Christ and His glories, Christ and His grace. You want to set your mind on what Christ has done. The immeasurable, innumerable treasures that Christ has purchased for you to enjoy here and now. Never mind what He has reserved for heaven and glory. You want to fill your mind with the triumphs of grace through Christ. You want to be meditating on this Savior. You want to know more and more of Him and about Him. Paul, having walked a long journey in Christ, having known Christ for a long period of time, even in his latter years, would cry, "Oh, that I might know Him. Oh, that I might know Him and have a glimpse into something of the power of His resurrection." There is no end to this process of knowing. There is no end to the substance of what we are going to know. There is no fullness. It's inexhaustible, ladies and gentlemen. This grace, this Christ, these heavenly things are infinite in their measure. You will explore and explore for all eternity. You will never exhaust them. What good blessings do you enjoy here? What is your best favor here? What is the good thing that you treasure here and now? Multiply it by infinity. It's nothing. Put them all together. Cluster them. They are all nothing compared to the treasures that are ours hid in Christ, ladies and gentlemen. Every good thing comes from God, and it's just a foretaste of the goodness of God that is reserved for the people of God in glory and for us to now enjoy. The pleasures have begun here and now in Christ, but they can easily be missed by the Christian person that does not seek them or set their minds on them. You can so be engrossed with making money, becoming powerful, becoming so educated, pursue the material pleasures of this life at the expense of the things of above. The song we sang earlier on, "Seek First the Kingdom of God," is extracted from Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. And the context there is our concerns for what we are going to eat tomorrow, what we are going to dress, the furniture, the shelter, the securities, the retirements, and all the necessary good things of this life. And we are so concerned, we are so consumed. We are worrying day and night to such an extent that we are even getting anxious. Some even succumb to depression, insomnia, and all kinds of health conditions because of their preoccupation with the things of this life. And the Lord comes and says, "Here, listen to me. First, seek the things of above where Christ is seated at the right side of majesty." Of course, it was Christ speaking while He was still on earth. "And all these things that you are seeking shall be added unto you." It's like, get your priorities right. Be heavenly first, and then they begin to fall from heaven, even the earthly things that you are seeking. Paul is encouraging us to meditate on Christ, the one at the side of majesty. Christ and His grace. Christ and His promises, Christ and the glories that He's preparing. What is your heart troubled about? What is your mind afflicted by? What are you so distressed about? The Lord says, do not let your heart be troubled. It doesn't matter how young you are, don't let your heart be troubled. Brother, your pension is consuming you. Don't let your heart be troubled. The clock is ticking and you're about to retire, and there's no guarantee that it all be taken care of. Don't let your heart be troubled. Your health may be failing and things are falling apart. Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe me, believe in God. I go to prepare a place for you. Hallelujah. And he's already there. And he's in the business of preparing an eternity for you. You are worrying about your earthly cares? He's got it all in control. Very well then. The basis for the exhortation. Why? Does Paul encourage us to set our minds on things of above and to seek the things of above where Christ is seated at God's side? I think it can be summarized in the word union. Union with Christ. I think that's the best way to put it. Union with Christ. Paul is saying, when Christ was thinking of you and your salvation, Christian friend, it was all well planned before you were born. It was all well designed long before the universe was made. Before anything came into creation, God had already planned. He had you in mind, you personally, you by name. And here you are, scratching your head, growing gray in the process, trying to be so meticulous in trying to solve the many problems of your life. God had it all planned. In case you've forgotten, even your tomorrow's details, he has them well planned. Nothing happens by accident. When you've begun to understand this God as a sovereign God, the sovereign ruler of the universe, the God of providence, who governs every minute detail, including the falling of your eyelashes, the falling of your hair as you comb. Even such minute details are planned and executed carefully by God. If you know such a God, that's all the knowledge you need to have. You can face tomorrow with audacity and boldness. You can face tomorrow with confidence. You can be faced with an array of situations that are overwhelming to the ordinary man because your mind is set on Christ and all the things of glory. Your soul is at peace in turbulent waters. The driver has lost control. The pilot is epileptic and no one ever realized it. And it strikes. Your God is in control. We are united with Christ. We are one with Christ. We are in Christ, and Christ is in us. And when you understand the doctrine of our union with Christ, you'll be a baby crying all the time. You'll be overwhelmed. Just take a glimpse of it in Colossians chapter 2. Paul here says in verse 8, "See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the traditions of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ." And here are the elements of our union with Christ that you must pay attention to. Notice them. They are salient. They stand out. They should stick out and stick in your mind. For in him, that is in Christ, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. That's not all. And in him, you have been made complete. And he is the head. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you have been made complete. or the fullness of Christ, the fullness of God. You are indwelt with. Have you got it, friend? Have you got it? Please, don't miss it. Don't lose it. In Christ is the fullness of God. And when Christ comes into you, He brings in that fullness of God in you. That's an amazing, astounding truth. But that's not all. Thereafter, you begin to notice our oneness, elements of our oneness with Christ. Verse 11, and in Him you were also circumcised. It's in Him, with the circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism. It's all in Him, with Him, in Him, with Him, in Him, with Him. So, let's summarize what Paul is saying here. Number one, you died with Christ. When Christ came into this world, He was not just dying for you. You were also dying with Him. He had already united you to Himself. Read Ephesians. Before the foundations of the earth, He chose you. And you were united by the Father in Christ. It's a redemption that is taking place through conjugal union. It's a redemption that is taking place through some magnificent act of God bringing us together to Himself. So we are dying with Christ. We are rising with Him in the resurrection. That's why that baptism symbol of rising out of water stands. We are rising with Christ. And when He's ascending, He's not ascending alone. He's ascending with us, with you. When He's seated at the right hand of majesty, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 reminds us, we are seated with Him. So you're all preoccupied about this world and your tomorrows. And then Congolese that are overwhelming you and you think you are nobody and no one notices you. In fact, you are so depressed. The world is despising you. Everyone has called you all kinds of names. You have even become very, very, very suicidal in the process. Little do you know that you are seated with Christ in the heavenly realms, the most important place before the throne of God. We are united with Christ through election, implemented and executed in His death, still united in His resurrection, united in His ascension and seating before God, united. And when He comes in glory, when this earth is over, trading will come to an end. Music will cease. All beauty will be lost because this world will be turned into a ball of fire. When this world is destroyed at the appearance of Christ, and because of the majestic, powerful appearance of Christ, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? The nobodies of this world that are being despised, teased, ridiculed. The nobodies of this life that are seen to be nothing because they are humble, because they are godly, because they are devout to their God. They would rather commit themselves to the things of the Lord rather than the things of this world. They will appear with Christ in glory. They will shine like stars with Christ. Their bodies will be transformed. No more sickness, no more disease, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears, no more death. The glorified, beautiful, majestic, spiritual, powerful, immortal body of Christ will be our bodies as well. Christ is coming in His glory, to glorify you and I, to share in His glory, to pass on the glory He had with the Father before the foundations of the earth to be yours as well, because you are united with Him. The implications cannot be lost. They cannot be ignored. Paul says, you are dead. Therefore you are dead, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You are dead. Christian friend, you are dead. You are dead to sin. You are dead to the sinful order of things. You are dead to the influences of Satan. You are dead to worldliness. You died. Are you aware, according to Galatians 2:20, that you're no longer alive? Remember how Paul puts it? Turn to it. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. The life that I live in this flesh, in this body, I live by faith in Him who loved me and gave Himself for me. It's no longer you who lives. Are you conscious of that, Christian friend? In other words, are you alive to the reality that your life now is hidden in Christ and your duty is to radiate Christ to the world? Are you aware? Are you acutely aware that you are a heavenly being? You already have your heavenly place. Your existence here on earth is that of an ambassador. You have come here to represent God. You are still alive to represent God. God is interested in speaking to the world, showing the world, communicating to the world through you. You are heavenly. You are God's representative here. Just like your ambassadors represent the Republic of Zambia or the head of state, wherever they are going to go. That's what you are. A representative of Christ from heaven. So when He says, set your mind on things of above, seek the things of above, that's your citizenship. Dual, yes, but a superior citizenship. That's your citizenship. Your interests must be superiorly those of the heavenlies. Your preoccupation must be the heavenlies. As you see yourself in the home as a mother, see yourself as a child before your parents, as you see yourself before your spouse, in your workplace, wherever you're going to go, even in the house of God, please do remember you have come here to represent God, to speak for God, to radiate something of the character of Christ, who is seated at the right hand of God, urging you on. Supplying you on all the energies and resources you need in the Holy Spirit. Reminding you of your responsibilities and goals in the Holy Scriptures, that you're a citizen of heaven. You're only an ambassador here, a spokesman here. And here's the question, are you aware of that? Are you such a creature that has forgotten your citizenship, your heavenly nature? Have you forgotten you're an ambassador of Christ? Have you begun to live your life as if it's all about you? It's all about you and your family? Is that how you spend your money? You don't care that you are representing God in your financial management and expenditure? Is that how you relate to people? You don't recognize that you are God's servant, God's spokesman, God's person, God's servant, God's representative? You have forgotten, you have a poor memory. Well, here is the antidote, here is the solution. Seek continually the things of above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of majesty. And when you have begun to seek, let your mind set itself there. Glue yourself there. Be absorbed by the things that honor God, things that glorify God. So whatever you're going to be doing here on earth, your business is to honor God, glorify God, please God, serve God. As a farmer, yes, serve God. It is no longer I who lives, because I'm crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives. It's Christ who lives in me. The life I live in this flesh, I live by faith in Him who loved me and gave Himself for me. You are hid with Christ in God. You've lost your life. You've got no identity as a Christian. That's why you're called Christian. That name called Chileshe is just for human beings here on earth to be able to establish that you are not Congolese or indeed Zimbabwean. But your true identity is that of being a Christian, whoever you are. How successful have you been in ministering Christ, representing Christ to your spouse? Do your workmates see someone who has come from heaven, whose interests are heavenly, whose preoccupations are heavenly? Are you aware that you are seated already with Christ in heaven? Because of your union, wherever you are representing Him. Please do remember that. The next time your temper wants to flare, your tongue wants to lash out, please don't forget, you are a heavenly being, heavenly spokesperson. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, He concludes, then you will appear with Him also in glory. Then it will become ever so evident to all, saint and sinner alike. Then the masses in the entire universe will be saying, yes, yes, now it makes sense. That's why they would always ask for time off to go and be with God at the Bible study or in the prayer meeting. That's why they were not vile in their speech. That's why their reaction was moderated. We now understand why they behaved the way they behaved. They were always not one of us. Always. They were the servants of God. Now we see them sharing in the glory and beauty and majesty of Christ. Oh, friends. We are pilgrims. We are on a journey. We are just messengers to leave messages concerning Christ and His glory, Christ and His grace, Christ. That's our business here. So I urge you, as you enter the new year, please do remember your true identity, an identity that was forged from the foundations of the earth. You are not your own. You've been bought by the price of Christ. Not only that, you died with Christ, and therefore you have died to sin, died to yourself, died to selfishness, died to self-will. Not only have you died with Christ, you have risen with Him, triumphed over sin, triumphed over death, eventually as well. And you have ascended to the right hand of majesty. You are seated in glory, preparing for the time when the glory of Christ will be revealed in the fullness of its measure as it incorporates the entire body of believers. Then we shall fully know that Christ is ours and we are Christ. Then it will be ever so evident that it's in Him that we are, and His fullness dwells in us. To God be the glory.